The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:25pm. Gareth Topham, James Millman and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. Busy day to look forward to as well, with racing at Ayr, Doncaster, Huntingdon and Lingfield in the afternoon, and at Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yes, good, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Well done.
Good. Couple of things to look forward to, or to look at before we move on to Friday's racing. Starting with Saïda Grougy. We've seen Sprinter Sacre make his return to the race course. Saïda Grougy's return will come in about, just over 2 weeks' time in the Game Spirit. And apparently there'll be a little bit left to do with him before he's back to his best, shall we say.
Yeah, and I think that's probably that's something that can be viewed as a positive. Connections will be hoping that he makes a winning comeback, but it mightn't be the be-all and end-all for Saïda Grougy, because not only have we got Cheltenham around the corner, but you know, there's the likes of Aintree, the Irish Festivals, Punchtown Ferry House,
yep.
And then there's the big 2 mile race on Whitbread Cold Cup Day at Sandown. So there are plenty of options from after Cheltenham. So it's the first step down the road this season for Saïda Grougy. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's a grade two race. Yes, of course, they'd like to win it, but I'm sure they want to see plenty of positives, and winning would be a bonus.
Hmm. So we'll wait and see how he gets on his return. What did you make of Sprinter Sacre's return, by the way?
I wasn't as negative about it as many people were. Yes, he mightn't be as brilliant as he was a couple of years ago, Mark. But that's no real shock. He wouldn't be the first horse to come back off at least one major setback and not look as good. But I thought there were plenty of positives. I thought his jumping was still very good. I thought he travelled well. He looked like he was coming to win his race turning in. And for me, he just blew up, and Barry Geraghty then wasn't hard on him. He was only beaten a couple of lengths, I think, by Dodging Bullets.
Hmm.
If that's as good as he is, he's going to be a player in the Champion Chase, because there's no doubt in that Dodging Bullets is now a player. But I think there's improvement to come. And you wouldn't say it's impossible at all that he could reverse that form with Dodging Bullets, and if he does, he's still right up there amongst the very best 2 mile chasers.
Yeah, I had similar feelings myself. I thought he'll obviously come on from the run, long time off the course,
yeah.
Running against a hard fit Dodging Bullets.
Yeah,
there's every chance that
Dodging Bullets coming into the race, Mark, was in the form of his life,
exactly,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
After that Tingle Creek win, I don't think he could have met that opponent in better form. So it was a tough ask, but he certainly didn't bomb out, did he?
No. So all we need now is Saïda Grougy to come back and do well, and then maybe Champagne Fever drops in trip and goes to the race, and then we've got five real...
What a champion chase we have.
It'd be great, won't it? Looking ahead to some of the weekend action as well, Sean, we've got a good weekend coming up with Cheltenham Trials Day, and there's good racing at Doncaster and over in Ireland as well, and Jessica Harrington's talking up the chances of Jeski ahead of his rematch, be meeting number 7 between him and Hurricane Fly. They just don't want too much wet weather around, because we all know that Jeski's better on a sounder surface.
Yeah, that's understandable, and of course Hurricane Fly is very effective on a soft surface.
Yeah.
But Jeski certainly improved from run 1 to run 2 this season, didn't he? He was beaten just over 2 lengths by Hurricane Fly the first time, and then at Leopardstown over Christmas he was beaten half a length by Hurricane Fly, so he definitely improved from run 1 to run 2, as he did last year. Let's not forget, prior to going into the Champion Hurdle last year, he'd been beaten by Hurricane Fly twice. Was beaten over Christmas by Hurricane Fly, and then of course was beaten in the Irish Champion by Hurricane Fly last year. But he improved leaps and bounds, didn't he, in the spring? I think he's a spring horse, as you rightly say. He wants better ground, but it is also just his time of year. So Connections with Jeski certainly won't be getting too worried. But it promises to be another fascinating clash, and these two horses are real superstars of the 2 mile hurdling division, and it's just going to be a belter of a race again, you'd imagine.
We've got betting on site as well. Hurricane Fly 8-11, Jeski is 11-8, Arctic Fire 12s, 25s for Fiscal Focus, Tiger Roll 33-1, and Plinth is the 66-1 outsider. I mean, Arctic Fire at 12-1. I wouldn't necessarily entirely rule him out. He ran a great race last time.
He did. The one thing I would say last time, he was ridden to run a good race, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In so much as JP McManus had two pacemakers in the race for Jeske, so they went a really honest clip throughout. Paul Townend wisely dropped Arctic Fire in to give him every chance of running as well as he could, and he was staying on very strongly. Whether this six-runner race will suit him, I can't see so much pace in this race. I mean, Plinth will be the likely pace setter. He was one of the horses that did the job last time out.
Yeah.
But, you know, with us just having the six in at the moment, there's no real each-way betting angle, is there?
No, exactly. That's the problem. Hurricane Fly and Jeske should finish first and second, so you're struggling, aren't you?
But, yeah.
Yeah. No mind. Anything else in the news at all, Sean, that's caught your eye, or anything that you're particularly looking forward to seeing this weekend? There's plenty of good stuff going on.
Yeah, there certainly is plenty of decent action. As you say, we've got Trials Day coming up from Cheltenham. I'm looking forward to seeing the first race of the day, the Triumph Hurdle Trial, because just looking at the entry mark, we've got a really good entry with the likes of Bristol DeMay, Peace and Co. Karazak sets a high level of form. You know, he's the benchmark to that race. You've got horses like Ibis de Roy, a half-brother to Sapphire de Roy, making his debut for Paul Nichols. I see his jock Sam twisting up, so the intention looks to be to run him.
Yep.
And John Joe O'Neill has an interesting horse in Matorico, who I'll be following closely. They bought him in France in the summer, and I was actually the underbidder on the horse. So
right.
We'll see how Matorico works out. But it looks a stiff ass for him on hurdling debut. But you know, that's going to give us plenty of clues about the Triumph Hurdle, isn't it? Of course, Peace and Co. Antipost favourite at the moment, and rightly so, based on what we saw at Doncaster. He looked a monster, didn't he?
Mm.
Then we've also got the race over the Gold Cup trip, the Betbright Cup Chase, as it's now called, and you know, we've got some really interesting horses in that. The likes of Dynast, the Hennessy winner Many Clouds, Hollywell looking to get back on track after unseating Richie McLernan last time out. So that's a really good looking race at this stage, and of course, Smad Place down the bottom as well. So. No, it's a good day at Cheltenham, as you rightly say. Doncaster also have good racing. They've got what was known as the River Don and Novices Hurdle. It's the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle these days. There's a strong entry for that. There's the Mayor's Hurdle. That looks a touch weaker this year than it has done in previous years. But we've also got the Skybet Chase, what was known as the Great Yorkshire Chase.
Yeah,
looks a very competitive handicap. So there's going to be plenty of good betting heats for punters at the weekend, both at Cheltenham and Doncaster. So it might be a day to get sat in front of the television on the sofa and enjoy what might play out in front of us.
Yeah, great weekend, great Saturday. And it continues on Sunday. We've got the Irish Arkle this weekend,
yeah,
and we've got the Irish Champion Hurdle. So great stuff to come. We're going to focus on matters a little bit close to hand, though, and we'll get Sean's thoughts on some of the racing on Friday on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Friday's action. Unfortunately, the weather continues to be a thorn in our side, so we're going to look at the all-weather action, because we should get racing from Lingfield. And the first race that Sean has picked out there is the 235, which is a Class 6 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. We have 9 of them in the lineup for this one. Sean, which ones do you like here?
Well, there are good few horses coming to this race in cracking form. 3 last-time out winners in the shape of Spray Tan, Burnt Cream, and Swendab. Swendab, the most recent winner of that trio. He was a winner only 5 days ago around Kempton, where he beat at Wedgwood Estates. That was a decent performance. He'd been knocking on the door prior to that, suggesting that a return to form was imminent with Swendab. And, you know, we know this is a horse who's been able to operate off higher marks, got as high as the mid-80s back in 2013. Has taken a good fall in the weight, particularly on the all-weather. He's rated significantly lower on the all-weather than he is on the turf, and he'll have every chance of going in again. I like the performance of Spray Tan last time out at Wolverhampton. That was over 5 furlongs. He beat Salvador by 3 parts of a length. Luke Morris rode him, and he takes the ride again. That said, though, it was a very, very weak race, and she was placed to good effect by Tony Carroll. Tony Carroll also represented in the race by First Rebellion, who showed signs that he was coming back to his best last time out when finishing second behind Aaron Yao at Kempton. The third-placed horse, Stud Farmer, was a winner only yesterday at Kempton. So that form is working out to a certain extent, and it'll be interesting to see how First Rebellion shapes in the market. The other one to mention is Burnt Cream, who was a winner around Lingfield last time out over this distance. He beat Quality Art, a horse who was not bad in this grade on his day. It was a tight finish in the end, but I don't know, would Burnt Cream be the sort to back for a follow-up? So I might take a chance with First Rebellion in this race. That was a more positive run last time out, and let's hope that that Tony Carroll's horse can build on that.
Okay, First Rebellion then in the 2.35. The 3.10 is the next race. Sean's picked out a good handicap. This a Class 2 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. And there's plenty in here with chances, Sean. It's going to be quite an open betting heat.
There certainly are. You know, when you get £28,000 put up to the winner, you deserve to be rewarded with a good field and a large field. And Lingfield have certainly got that. You know, Chucky Royale, the top weight here, running off a mark of 109. So, you know, we don't always get horses in the low 100s filling these races, but on this occasion we've got two horses that are rated north of 100 in the shape of Chucky Royal and Magic City. Magic City's interesting as he was a winner last time out around Kempton, beating Badr Al Badur. That win came in a conditions race, but it was a good performance. It was only his second ever run on the all weather. He's finished second and of course won in two starts on the all-weather, so you know he's very lightly raced on this surface and could have more to offer. I think Lingfield will suit him as well. He was a horse who liked tricky turning tracks on the turf. You know, he excelled around tracks like Goodwood, so I would imagine this place would hold no problems to him. Grey Mirage is becoming feasibly handicapped. He was fifth behind Melvin the Great in a strong race last time out. He's running off a mark of 99, and his last winning handicap company came off 100, so he's well able to mix it off this sort of mark, and given that positive run last time out, you wouldn't be surprised to see him build on it. Newstead Abbey hasn't been seen in a good while, is a capable performer in this sort of grade, but the market will probably tell us how he's going to shape on the back of such a layoff. Firm Decisions was a decent second behind Boom the Groom in a decent enough race last time out. He was only beaten a neck that day by Boom the Groom. There are plenty of inform horses in behind him, so you wouldn't be surprised to see Dean Ivory's horse in the thick of things. And one down the bottom that might interest you would be Brigliadoro, who's taking a step up in class, Mark, but I think he's done nothing but improve this all-weather season. That was a decent effort when he beat History Book last time out, although, as I say, he does need to improve. I'll probably play Grey Mirage. He should be a decent enough price, not a huge price, but he might be backable as an each way prospect.
Okay, Grey Mirage then in the 3.10 at Lingfield, and the final race that Sean has picked out is the 4.10. We finish here with a Class 5 maiden over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the 3-year-olds. What's made you pick this race, Sean?
Just because I saw the maiden in which Honourable Action and Elusive Force ran in last time out. It was of course Honourable Action's debut that day. He wore blinkers on debut. The blinkers are retained. But I thought there was plenty of promise to be taken from his opening run. He beat Elusive Force a neck. They step up another half furlong. And that might just see Elusive Force reverse the positions this time around, because he was staying on really well. There was a question mark how well he would stay given his pedigree. He's not short of speed in his pedigree, but clearly he looks to stay quite well, Mark. And I'll side with him to get the better of Honourable Action on this occasion. Jamie Osborne introduces an interesting newcomer, Dark Avenger, a son of Scat Daddy. You'd imagine he should be fine on this surface. This horse cost €100,000 at the Breeze Ups earlier last year. Runs in the colours of Michael Buckley, colours made famous on the flat by Toast of New York. And he won't have to be a superstar to be shaping on debut, although he does have a tough ask from stall 13. It must be mentioned that Honourable Action is coming out of stall 14, so he's widest of all, whereas the selection here, Elusive Force, is coming out of 3, a far better draw.
Interesting, yeah, and they've both gone for pretty good all-weather jockeys as well, haven't they? Luke Morris and Adam Kirby, so...
Yeah, they're not too bad.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Sean, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time then.
Yep, sure thing. In the 2.35, I'm going to go with First Rebellion for Tony Carroll and Robert Tart. We then move on to the 3.10, the big handicap of the day, and Grey Mirage is feasibly treated, so I hope he can do the business from stall one for Marco Botti and Martin Harley. And then we switch our attentions to the last race of the day, a maiden, an interesting maiden. Honourable Action and Elusive Force are closely matched on their run last time out at Wolverhampton, but Elusive Force is better drawn this time than Honourable Action, and might be suited more by the half furlong step up and trip, so he gets the nod. I'll be interested to see how Dark Avenger shapes as well.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:25 PM. Gareth Topham, James Millman and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. A busy day to come, as well as we mentioned three jumpers, Aird, Doncaster and Huntingdon, providing that Doncaster and Huntingdon pass their A-team inspections. We've also got all of the racing at Lingfield in the afternoon and the usual Friday evening fair from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.